Hey, got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio, and in the studio I've got Travis Brown from the Surf Club. Good morning.
Morning, how are you doing?
Pretty good. So if you're here, it must be close to the start of the surf season, I'm thinking.
Or yeah, it is indeed.
The junior surf anyway, isn't it?
Yep, so patrol started last weekend on Labour Weekend
Yes.
For the seniors, so we had open patrol last weekend, and they'll be continuing through till Easter holiday, and then our junior surf program to do nippers starts this Sunday.
Okay, and last weekend, were there many people swimming?
From my understanding, from talking to a few guys, we had a peak head count of about 400.
Really?
On the beach and in the water.
Yeah. Wow. I thought everyone was here for the art.
Yeah, well, must have been a few popping down to the beach as well.
Yeah, actually true, it's Labour Weekend. But I also just thought it would be cold, you know, like...
Yeah, that was my thinking too, but no, apparently there were a couple of busy days, and one quiet day, so...
Okay, I'm glad that the surf patrol was on. Do you know if there were any rescues necessary?
Not as far as I'm aware.
Okay, well, that's a nice start to the season anyway. Mm. May it continue. So for the nippers, first of all, what age group are nippers?
So for our nippers program, basically we run from 7 to 13-year-olds. We yep. also have a tadpoles program, which is for anyone under 7. At 13 years old, we put them in what we call our rookies program, which yep. is basically kids who after a season are going to go for their lifeguard award. And anyone 14 years of age or older can go for our lifeguard award, which
okay.
means they can patrol at the beach, they can... work towards doing paid lifeguard service and be paid to travel around and lifeguard at different beaches.
Okay.
And we actually have an intake for anyone who's interested in lifeguarding coming up in February for those who might be keen to give it a go.
Okay, of any age?
So 14 plus. So yeah. we get college-age kids coming through. We get people at uni. We also get a few old heads, guys maybe used to do junior surf when they were kids and they've yeah. actually come back after they've had kids and they're keen to get involved again. So a few 30- and 40-year-olds coming through the program, which
okay.
is pretty cool.
Got a bit of time on their hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so when you're a teenager, then you're doing a real job, right?
So yeah,
maybe not necessarily a paid job, but you're useful.
So at 14 years old, once they're qualified, they'll actually be on one of the patrols. We run 4 patrols at the moment. They'll be put on one of the patrols and they'll be out there putting out the flags. They'll be on the tower, maybe on mobile patrol, going up and down the beach, checking for any problems, maybe doing a session on the flags, keeping those people swimming between the flags safe and sensible. And yeah, being really valuable. We've got lots of young lifeguards out at Raglan, which is really cool to see those young guys stepping
yeah.
up.
Actually, how are the volunteer numbers at the moment? Are they looking good?
We can always have more.
Yes.
You never have enough volunteers.
Yeah.
But at the moment, at this stage, at the start of the season, we've got about 15 people on each patrol, and plus we've got a group of active reserves, so they're not necessarily put on a patrol. They just come in when they can. Probably about 20 people, so... Yeah, looking at about 80 lifeguards in and out. But
okay.
like I say, we can always deal with more volunteers out
yeah,
on the beach.
Yeah. So for the nippers and the nippers program, is there kind of like a minimum level of comfort in the water or ability to swim, or what do you say about that?
No, so my thing is we live in a country that's surrounded by water and filled with lakes, streams.
Mm.
You know, it's really important that we push that safety message out. So we take all comers from kids that have never been in the ocean before
yeah.
to experienced swimmers, and we just work to their level. So if the challenge of the surf is an issue for them, that's something that we work on, building up that water confidence.
Yeah.
For those guys that may be really good pool swimmers, work on how do you negotiate the surf, because that's a different issue.
Yeah.
So basically I've had from kids that have never been in the water before, absolutely terrified, all the way up to experienced pool swimmers, experienced surfers who have wanted to get in and do something a bit different.
For the ones who are terrified, do you kind of gently get used
yeah.
to the water?
Yeah, so we do a lot of building up of the confidence. We've got a really good crew of coaches coming along who are really supportive and keen to help those kids. And for some kids, it means they might be doing a different activity on the beach or in the shallows, while some other kids who are more confident are doing something a bit deeper
okay.
out.
I guess gone are the days when you just take them out and chuck them in.
Yeah. I recall my dad doing that. Didn't work very well.
I was going to say, did that actually happen? Yes, it did. Yeah.
I mean, a good example, my eldest son was not keen on the big surf when he first started as a 7-year-old, and he recently qualified for his lifeguard award just the other weekend.
Okay, just give him a bit of space to get used to it. And I mean, when you're 7, those waves look pretty big.
Yeah, they still look pretty big when you're 45 as well.
Yeah, you get some big ones. Okay, so... So anyway, everybody's welcome. Is it how much parental involvement?
So we usually run a ratio. So if the surf is reasonably nice, not too big, we'll run a ratio of one adult to five kids, with extra lifeguards on as well. When it does get super big for our young guys, we will go one-to-one, so it's quite good for the parents to come with their wetsuits and togs so they can hop in with the water on those days and be one-to-one with their kid. And I just like the idea of parents being getting involved, modelling for the kids what it's like to be active and engaged and involved.
So there's an expectation if you're a parent that you'll be in the water at some point?
Yeah, probably. Like I say, we do make accommodations and where we might have supports, especially with our lifeguards on as well. If it was a day where a parent couldn't get involved for whatever reason, we also have a few different safety ways that we can run it with nets and things like that, parent support nets, so that the kids are swimming in a particular area completely surrounded by adults.
Yeah.
So it might not be one-to-one, but they're still safe in that environment.
Yeah. And I guess the Tadpoles program that you mentioned before is the best way to... that you've got to get the kids used to it when they're really young.
Yeah, so tadpoles, we start with lots of like playing in the shallows, learning about the beach, just getting them fun and engaged and realizing that actually it's not a scary place to be. We need to be respectful, but it's not a scary place to be. And then from there, once they've got that confidence, we can build up. But we'll have, like I say, kids coming in into our C group, which is our 12 and 13 year olds who have never been in the water before.
Right.
And we just work with them to develop that confidence through that age.
Do you get kids coming from Hamilton?
Yep, we got lots of kids coming from Hamilton. We've had kids from, obviously from the local area, Hamilton, Huntley, doing the big drive out, which is really cool to see. Like I say, some of those city kids, especially with the loss of some school pools, coming in and building up that beach knowledge, for a country that's completely surrounded by beaches. It's great to see them out there.
Actually, speaking of pools, are you at Raglan Area? No, you teach at...
I'm at Waitatuna, and we still have a school pool.
You still have a school pool. I know Raglan Area School is trying to get theirs back up and running.
Yeah, it is really positive. We had a big push a few years back. There was a bit of damage to the pool, and there was a big push from the community that actually we want to get that repaired. Did a lot of fundraising to keep that pool, because once those pools go from those schools, you're probably not going to get them back again.
Yeah, and I mean, the Waitatuna stream is famously is a place where the kids out there are swimming, perhaps unsupervised. So, basic swimming skills are pretty important.
Yep. Yeah, and like I say, our focus at the beach is around how do we use what we know in that water environment, how we stay safe, talking about the, identifying rips, what do we do when we corner rips, we do the 3 R's, relax, raise and relax, ride the rip and raise your hand so you get rescued. Things like how do you go negotiate out so you're not getting smashed by those waves, staying away from those dangerous areas. And then, like I said, if they've got that, we can work on, catching waves and body surfing, bodyboarding, things like that.
We've talked about the kids who might not be confident, but do you get kids also who are overconfident?
Yeah. Yeah. quite often.
Yeah. Okay.
And like I say, we always have set rules which we go over them around where they can and can't go, and make sure that they're supported. And we've got some kids who are super confident when they turn up, they're ready to go out, and maybe after that first experience, like actually I need to pull it back a little bit. But again, we're supporting them, we want to extend them where they're comfortable and help them to achieve their best when they're on the beach.
I mean, I know we've got plenty of families who have got the kids out on their surfboards from a really, really young age, probably as soon as they can sit up in some cases, I imagine. Yeah, like how soon did you get your kids out in the water at the surf?
Pretty much straight away.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Well, after they're born.
Yeah, yeah, just chuck them in the water. From about 4 years old.
They float.
I've probably got photos somewhere with my dad and myself and my kids out on the surfboard up north on holiday.
Yeah.
But like I say, even if they've had no water experience, we're all just about building from where they're at.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that the junior surf, they do that. Well, is the junior surf involved in competitions or is that older?
Yes, so we do competitions from 7 up. We usually travel for those. So for our more competitive kids, that is an option. They can go compete in events like beach sprints, beach flags, kneeboard races, swimming races. There's also a pool champs that runs as well, where those competitive swimmers can compete in the pool as well as at the beach.
Okay, all right. Well, that all sounds pretty good. Is there anything you want to add to that I haven't asked about? I suppose cost. Actually, no, I know what else I want to ask.
Yep.
There's a cost, must be a cost.
There is a cost. We try to keep it low because, again, we want to make sure that people have access to it. We don't want cost to be a barrier. So we charge $20 for the season.
That is pretty cheap.
Yeah. The season runs from basically this weekend. So every Sunday from 10 till 12 up at the clubhouse.
Yeah.
We have a little break over Christmas, but we basically run as close to Easter as we can every Sunday. We don't expect families can make it every weekend, but we feel if they can, do a few sessions, maybe learn something about, rips, waves, how to be safe in the water, and then pass that information along to their family. There's, sometimes we get older heads who, again, with the confidence thing, perhaps a bit overconfident, probably swam really well at college, but may have not swum in the 30 years since, passing that safety information on to them and helping them out.
Up the family
chain. Exactly, and spreading that out. You know, if we can pass that information out to all New Zealanders, you know, our drowning rate, even with all the work we do, is still high. If we can keep that down as low as possible, that's more family having time together over Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. And you say, so you go all through like the summer school break. It's not like other sports like touch rugby or netball that stop.
So we'll take a break at Christmas time for a couple of weeks, two to 3 weeks, just because obviously people will be out and about. But then we usually start about early to mid-January again and then push through. We pretty much go until the kids are, you know, it's getting a bit too cold and they're not able to handle it anymore. And then we usually shut down the season, which is towards Easter, maybe a little
towards
bit before
Easter.
Then.
And when do the lifeguards stop? When is that?
So we finish, our volunteer patrols finish on Easter weekend. That's our last weekend of patrolling. But the paid lifeguard service, which for listeners is the paid guards who come out and patrol during the weekdays, our volunteers do the weekends.
Oh, yeah.
This season is going to run from the 25th of November to the 28th of February.
Okay. Is that long enough? Like, I know a few years ago there was questions about, I think they managed to extend the funding because it was quite a short period for the paid guards.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, that's reasonably good. That's pretty good for us. But we do also have, obviously, we've got our SARS squad who are out and about. So if there's emergencies, they can get called out as well during the winter and things like that. And actually with our community, we're really good at lots of our guards. You know, they're surfers. They're out and about and around the traps. When they see something, we have a lot of rescues that happen during the winter time where, you know, there'll be someone out. Could be like DK or someone spots them.
There was
a
year ago or so, he had like a couple of rescues in a row or something. Yeah. I remember he seemed to be like his informal role.
Yeah. And there's others out and about as well who you know, when they're there, if they see anything, it's not patrol season, but they'll be out and they'll be, you know, getting in touch.
And for the benefit of anyone listening who's not very familiar with our beach, like, it's not the safest beach, is it?
No, so we've got lots of rips. We've got big surges that come through. There's a quiet tendency. Usually, if you think about kind of just in front of the clubhouse, is usually our safest spot. If you go south, lots of rocks, especially at high tide, people are going to sometimes don't spot the rocks down there.
Yeah.
On low tide, obviously, we get the sucking out effect, which makes the rips even more pronounced.
Right.
And we also quite often, just by the fallen stairs where the dog park is, we get lots of people, because that's where they've parked, they go straight out there, and often that's an area which is susceptible to having lots of rips.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, again, people coming out perhaps being overconfident, going out, getting caught in a rip. Like I say, we'll always put the flags in the safest spot that we can, and we'll be running our mobile patrol, which is scanning and checking the rest of the beach to make sure that those areas, if people are there, we're just going to PA them, just give them a bit of a preventive action.
Yeah,
it's not to be a police officer or anything. It's just to remind them, hey guys, you know, here's the dangers in this area. This area is a bit safer.
I mean, you've seen people die out there, so I'm sure over the years. I don't know if personally you've been near that when it's happened, but we all know it's been happening.
Yeah, and I'll put out, just like when the guards are talking to people, like I say, it's not to be police officers. We just want the best for everyone. We want people to leave, have a great day at the beach, go home, you know, have kai with their whānau and not have had a terrible experience on our beautiful beach.
Yeah, yeah. And don't try and swim on the inlet, especially where the sewage comes.
No,
sewage out.
No.
Not that it's sewage, it's treated wastewater, I should be clear about that. But A, you don't want to swim in it, and B, that's like the worst place anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And it is just beach awareness. And so, you know, if with newcomers to our beach, feel free to have a chat to the lifeguards. A lot of our community know what our beach is like. You know, they know the safe spots, but it's our visitors that are coming in for the first time. On that note, I'd like to plug the safeswim.org.nz site and app, especially because a lot of our community will be going out travelling over the summer holidays. Great place to go for information on the different beaches around New Zealand, if they're going to be patrolled or not, what the safety features are, what the swell's like. It's a really useful website and app that could be useful for some of you guys out there.
And we might think we have the most dangerous beach in the country, one of the most dangerous, and that everything else is all right, but I guess there's a huge variation out there when you head around the country.
Yeah, and you know, there's even the safest of beaches sometimes, you know, if you're just a bit unaware, you know, especially if you've got little ease, it only takes a little knock in the by a little wave to put them under. And if you're not right there, that can be an issue. But I will say this, like, we had some of the most preventative actions, some of the most rescues last season. So the guards that are out there are doing a really good job of helping to keep our community safe.
They're getting lots of practice.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is good, which is a double-edged sword, isn't it? It's good that they're doing it, but it means the reason why are they busy? It means that people are not in the right places.
And our philosophy is very much, if we're doing those preventative actions, we're putting out the safety signs, we're putting out the flags, we're talking to people on the beach, hopefully it means that we have less rescues at the end of the day.
Yeah, because that is ultimately the goal, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Travis, thanks for coming in. Travis is the Junior Surf coordinator, and it's this Sunday, isn't it? 10 o'clock?
So this Sunday from 10 up at the clubhouse, if you are anywhere from 5 to 13, again, if you're a 14 plus, would like to get involved in lifesaving, you can go to our website at Raglan Surf Lifesaving, and we can put you in touch with the head lifeguard who can get you on track for training.
Awesome. Thanks for coming in, Travis.
No worries.